Open your Bibles, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, where the theme is it's salvation by grace through faith. It's not of works, but I think as Paul even expands it, it's our life in Christ will be by faith. And when I say that, it's not that we can lose our salvation. That is not what I'm saying at all. But it is the victorious life will be by faith. I want to make sure I say this comment early. Maybe I'll say it several times. But when I talk about the faith that honors God, that pleases God, I want to tell you this. It's many times I think the way we use faith, it's faith that'll get what we want. And I don't think that's what the Bible's talking about, faith that'll get what we want. But it's faith that'll allow us to honor Christ. Faith that will accept whatever He has. Faith that our whole desire is for His glory, for His honor, for His kingdom. Faith that will move a mountain, but that mountain is for the purpose of God. But I also want you to tell you this. I'm not denying that there are passages that the Bible says you receive not because you ask not. And there are things I believe that, I say this respectfully, and you can almost, I love taking things to extreme. Clay and Deanna are excellent about that, just to test truth. It's good. So when I say this, the extremes could get ridiculous, but I believe that God's movable. If you understand, he's not immovable, right? But it's all within the parameters of His will. And so there's some things He'll say absolutely not. But I believe that our faith can move the Lord. And I speak of that as believers. But faith is the core of how we're saved, by faith in Christ. And I think the victorious life is faith as well. Let's read these 9 verses and then we'll parse them out, walk through them verse by verse. Let's read verse 1-9. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now I'll just pause there. This book has some of the strongest language outside of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Pharisees. I mean, there's some strong language a little bit, not in terms of bad language, but so direct. It's a little direct in Corinthians, both 1st and 2nd. And so it's a little bit direct, but not this direct, right? I mean, look, he said in chapter 1, if anyone preaches another gospel, which there's not another gospel, let him be accursed, let him be damned. And then he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I mean, that's pretty strong language, but this is a pretty serious subject. Chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. This is the only thing I want to know. This is the only thing I want to know. That's what he's saying. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He even struggled writing that, though he was moved to write that by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? All of this, the answers would be faith, 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 faith. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, this great ministry to the Gentiles. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Title of the message, Faith in Christ is the Gateway to All Holy Things. We can have a discussion with this. I'm telling you, it is, I told you this morning, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is charity. We could have the greatest faith, and if we don't have love, it's for naught. So you cannot forget that everything needs to be bathed, immersed, surrounded by love. But I will tell you, faith in Christ is what saves. Faith in Christ is what will lead us to the victorious life. Faith in Christ will lead us to say, I believe what you've said, I will do what you've said, even if I don't get what I want, because what you want is better. You have a better outlook for me. You have better care for me. I will trust you no matter what. Faith will cause us to do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. Turn over quickly. You know this, Hebrews chapter 11, but I want to show you just again. I want to show you two verses, Hebrews chapter 11 and Romans chapter 14, just as a little bit of background. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." It is impossible to please God, is what it's saying. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It is, in a nutshell, without faith, we cannot please God. Now turn over to Romans chapter 14. I'll try to summarize this quickly, though it's really the momentum of Romans 14. The entire chapter would be good to review, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to exposit Romans 14, but I'll just take you these three verses. Romans 14, verse 21. Talking about our behavior and how we need to think about how we live because and how it affects others. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." That's just a good statement to remember. If something will offend another brother or sister in Christ, we ought to forego that. He said, "It is good to eat, not to eat flesh, drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Verse 22, "Hast thou faith?" And it comes down to this, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat." That means he will be judged, not eternal damnation. That's not what that is dealing with. "And he that doubteth is damned." You'll be judged if you eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's really, it gets a little complicated here. You know, the Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You may be able to do something, and if I do it, it'll be sin to me. If I think it's sin and I do it, it's sin. Because it's a heart of rebellion against God. And if you think that you think you have this liberty to do this thing, but you're wondering whether you should do it or not, you know what the Bible says? Don't do it. Because if you doubt and you do it, you're going to be judged for that. You ought to have the faith that says, "This will hurt my brother, I'm not going to do it. This will hurt my sister, I'm not going to do it." And it's all about faith. Do I believe that God will bless me? I mean, imagine, you know, somebody, don't do this to me. Somebody says, "I'm offended that you drink Diet Mountain Dew." Man, you can see me secretly. I'm bad, you know, drinking Diet Mountain Dew. And so maybe I should cut back a little bit. Maybe 300 ounces a day is a bit much. I'm just trying to give them a lab. I don't drink that much. Just kidding. But April's like, 300 ounces. Yeah, okay, that's all right. Yeah, you do regular Mountain Dew. Yeah, she's about to jump out of the ceiling right now drinking. You know, that, I'm like, why would I go off on Mountain Dew? I was going to say, Mountain Dew Zero tastes like real Mountain Dew, and I have gotten so far away from real Mountain Dew, it doesn't. Well, it tastes like something different. Anyway, okay, back to the scriptures. Romans chapter 14 says, everything ought to be done in faith. And this is a pretty low-level thing that says, as I live before men, I need to be conscious of how I can help or discourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if something will discourage them, I shouldn't do that. And I need to have the faith in the Lord that says, if I don't do that, he's going to bless. Or, see, again, you see my bent. I think my statement was wrong. I need to have the faith that says, if I don't do this, he'll be honored. See, you got it. You have to correct me. You guys should be like, oh, I should have heard a gasp in the audience. Because my motive can't be me. My motive has to be the honor of Christ. You see, I'm always about, he'll bless me. Yes, he will bless me, but my motive needs to be his honor. You see, and I need to trust in the Lord that says, you know what, not offending one of his children will honor him. You can tell everyone, he'll bless me. You know, but he'll be honored. And I want you to take that in this entire chapter. Now let's look at verse 1. I'll just try to give you this, and then we'll jump into the scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 1, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You're probably in Romans. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He said this. I mean, he's not trying to say that Christ was crucified literally among their eyes, but they have seen by faith the work of Christ on the cross. They have seen the glorious work of Christ by faith, that he was crucified for them, and they've seen this, and now all of a sudden that's not enough. He said, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. I'm not sure. God gives me illustrations all the time. You may not like this. I had this number calling me all day long, so I don't answer the phone particularly. I do if you leave a message, you know, if I don't know the number, because one, there's two reasons. So I'll just tell you this. I love missionaries, and I don't want to say no to a missionary, so I just don't return the call, but I understand. Maybe that's worse. I just don't like to say no, but I love missionaries, and I just so I just don't like to say no to missionaries. So I don't answer the phone when I don't know the number. And I also, I tell everybody, if they want money, if they want something, I say, you come to church, and we'll help you. We'll help people. But I'm not trying to scare them away, because I literally mean that. If you let us feed you spiritually, we'll feed you physically. But the money must be so easy, very few take me up on that. So this number called, and this is like, I told Deb, they keep calling. I didn't answer. So finally, this afternoon, I answered, and they go, who is this? I'm like, I get those calls too, and I'm not going to say. And I go, I think you have the wrong number. Hung up. They called back again, and I thought, well, maybe. So they said, I know who you are. Do you know who this is? And I'm like, I don't know who this is. Well, long story short, it's Alberto. Now he has my phone number. And Alberto better become a preacher. Or, see, I convinced him. I'll just tell you, this is just a side story, right? So he got the two classes that I told him to get, construction and finance. And he says, I'm not sure which one I want to be. I said, neither. You just need to learn how to build and handle money if you're going to be a preacher. And he just looks at me. And so if you don't think that's my plan, that's my plan. But we'll see what the Lord has. But so Alberto is stirred up. And I'm giving you this illustration because we do this too. He stood with me this afternoon after the service, and he goes, God's eating up his heart about baptism. And I'm not pressing him, right? And so he talks about it all the time. And I say, hey, you know, I mean, he knows what I believe. I say this, it's about time you honor Jesus. And he keeps telling me his parents will say no. His parents never say no to me. And I can explain it to him, and they'll say absolutely. And they'll wonder, and I'm going to teach him, help him understand, because Alberto was baptized as a baby. And he told me this morning, he says, I have it figured out, Pastor Steve. He said, God is accepting my baptism from when I was a baby. And it will count for my baptism now. And I said, man, that sounds so good, but it's absolutely wrong. And he was struggling, right? And he knows this, but he asked me 100 times, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? I said, no, Alberto, you know that. I said, but, you know, I don't want you to be so driven about what does it take to go to heaven. I said, I want you to be driven by what does it take to honor Christ. See, I said, because it's not about going to heaven. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's just so cool just to watch the Lord transform. But here's what it is. It's going to take faith by this young man, 15 years old. It's a big deal. He's going to go countercultural, because his parents agree with everything I say. Still getting his mom off of Mary. But she accepts it, but she'll still. So I know enough Spanish. I'm learning a little bit. I said, because they spread when we close in prayer, I open in prayer, different person will close in prayer. And when Biani does, his mom, she always mentions Maria. I'm like, Biani, you can drop her next time. And so Alberto is struggling with faith that Christ will be honored. We got finished with the call. He said, I know what I need to do. I need to get baptized. But I told him this. I said, if your parents say no, then we're going to wait until you are an adult. And I said, I'll explain to them that they'll answer for it. I'll do it kindly. I said, but if they say no, I want you to have a good attitude. I want you to love your parents. I want you to say, hey, you know what? My parents are my authority right now, and I will submit to that authority, and I'm not responsible to honor Christ for that. And I said, that's important that you understand that. I said, I don't think they're going to say no. And he says, you know, I don't remember details. He said, remember you talking about it a long time ago, and they said no. I've only known him for a year and a half. So what's a long time ago? But I don't remember that. I don't remember that. So I can talk to him about it again. But he's struggling. But do you know what it comes down to? Faith. Will I trust the Lord? Will I trust the Lord to do what's right? And we are saved by faith. I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2 to me is just so cool. It's how did we receive the Spirit, right? How did we receive the Spirit? By faith. Look at this. This only would I learn of you. This is all I want to know. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I want to throw a little curveball. You know it's a little passion of mine, but I want to tell you this. I believe this. From Adam on, every believer has been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you this. He talks about Abraham having that same faith, and Abraham would have had to receive the same Spirit that they did, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Abraham was saved by the same gospel that we were. So I'm actually going to throw another seed out that is a little controversial. So it's okay because of this. If the new covenant is the gospel, the new covenant hadn't been given yet. In fact, the old covenant hadn't even been given yet. The new covenant's not the gospel. It pictures salvation by grace, but it's not the gospel. Abraham was saved by the gospel. It's okay if we disagree on that. You know, I throw a little couple things out of there. See, because I'm convinced every believer has been indwelled by the Holy Spirit from Adam on. I think I can prove that. This would actually say this. Look, he says it. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It is faith that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are kept by the Holy Spirit. In addition, that we're in the hand of Jesus, we're in the hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit seals us. How did we receive the Spirit? By faith, not the works of the law. You don't receive the by faith. I want you to understand this. So this is what many people teach. They'll teach that you receive the Holy Spirit by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No. It's by faith. Jesus is the one that baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think he only did it twice. Come talk to me about that, and we'll talk about it. I don't believe that believers today are baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's external. Baptism's external. Amen? Because if it wasn't, you all drowned when you were baptized. Right? So it's external. Baptism of the Holy Spirit's external. You can see that great work that was done in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10. But he says this, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." It's by faith. I want you to get this theme. By faith. By faith. I want you to look at this. Look at verse 3. Now this is incredible. Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? This is where we get to be part of this. Are we so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, this is what we try to do. We try harder. I'm telling you, it's not that great of an epiphany, but I talk about submission all the time, but it's submission by faith. It's submission by faith. And I'm telling you this, you know, yield your instruments as instruments of righteousness. The Bible talks about, we read that just last week in Romans 6. It is, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit by faith, trusting that when we submit to the Lord, he will do his part, and he will. Otherwise, it's this. Now, Paul is dealing with salvation here. He's saying this. Look at verse 3 again. I'll tell you what he's talking about, then I'm going to do the application. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? This is the foolishness to believe or teach that you're saved by faith and you're kept by good works. That's ridiculous. See, the true gospel is what gets you in and keeps you in, and that's faith in Christ. It's faith that gets you in and keeps you in. It's the work of God, and when you're in, God says, I'm taking care of the rest. And so, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Listen to Philippians 1:6. Let me tell you why we're made perfect. It's because of the promise of God. Listen to Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you are not perfected, then God failed, or you were never saved. If you're saved, he guarantees to finish the job. Listen to Romans 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified, we are declared righteous before God by faith, not by works. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like John 5:24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, or present tense, and shall not come into condemnation, future tense, but is passed from death unto life, past tense. When you're saved, your past has been taken care of, your present has been secured, and your future's been taken care of. When you're saved, which sins does Jesus forgive? And so I ask people that believe you can lose your salvation, I'll say, which sins then condemn your soul to hell? If you've been forgiven, he's not going to bring them back up. So then some of them will say, well, he just forgives present and past. Not John 5:24. Aren't you glad about that? See, that doesn't give us a license to sin, because when he saves us, he changes us. He's the one that will complete it. He's the one that will change us. If you don't see changing, then you probably weren't saved. And give the Lord credit. I hear too many people that I'm convinced are saved. And they go, well, you know, he's not doing anything, or I don't see any evidence. I don't think you're looking well. You should look, and you should give God the glory. You should give God the credit. And by faith, you should believe that he will change you. You should expect to be changed, and we can have victory. By faith, we can have victory. By faith, we will obey him when we don't want to. And that's going to be what it gives us, the victory. Are you made perfect through the flesh? No. I want you to understand that. I know he's talking about salvation that says, you know, did you come to Christ by faith, and now you finish the job by your works? That's ridiculous. Foolishness. But understand this. Do we come to Christ by faith and faith alone, and we believe we're secure? But then we focus on all the doing. We ought to be doers of the word. But why do we do? And the reason why it gets wearisome is we do it in the flesh. We do it in our own might. We don't do it by faith, and we don't do it with an understanding that it's faith that will honor and glorify him. What will honor and glorify him? Faith. That's good. It's good. That's what will. And what does faith lead to? Obedience. You see, it's critical. Now let's look at verse 4. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? So he's like, you've suffered. They've been ridiculed. They've lost family ties. Some of them have been part of the persecution that Saul, who became Paul, started. And he said, you've suffered these many things, and now you're just going to chuck it and become like all other religions? You have to understand this. True biblical Christianity is distinct. It's the only one that says our goodness has nothing to do with it. The only one. Name another. It's all about goodness. It's all about you. It's about Christ and his goodness. And we got to trust him fully, even when we look foolish. Even when life doesn't go our way. God is good, and we can trust him. I want you to turn over to Romans 8. You'd be blown away by the passage I have, but I kind of want to go through this, not all of Romans 8, almost. We're going to start with verse 1. We ultimately get to this third point, suffering as a result of faith. I want you to catch that point, suffering as a result of faith. When he says in Galatians 3, have you suffered so many things in vain? You suffered because of faith. We will suffer because of faith. Alberto heard me say that this morning. He's heard me say that a lot, but he really was stunned by it. And he suffers with worry. Worry is one of his struggles. And I said, not that kind of suffering, Alberto. He struggles with just worry, fear. And I said, that's not the suffering the Lord's talking about. The suffering the Lord's talking about is for his name's sake. We will have hardships. For his name's sake, life will be more difficult. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 1. I'm going to walk you through this, but I'm going to try to get a big picture if we can. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, that's the distinguishment in our life. Will we walk after the flesh, or will we walk after the Spirit? What? In faith. Okay? Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. We will not be condemned to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, from the judgment of the law, from the condemnation of the law, from the eternal judgment of the law. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And you didn't lose your carnal mind when you got saved. I say it's the bummer. I need to be rejoicing in the way God has it. But that's the tough part, right? So now, I've got this printed, so this is a little bit more difficult. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we walk in the flesh, if we walk in the flesh, we cannot please God. So what's the opposite of walking in the flesh? Walking in the Spirit by faith. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And I think that's from Adam on. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We now have the ability to have victory. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. One day we'll get a new body. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can you feel that? It's complete trust. Papa. Papa. That's what Elliot calls me. That's why I like, you know, some people say Abba's daddy. It's Papa. It is always be Papa to me. You know what she looks at? She says, Papa. She can be selfish too, but she looks at me and says, Papa will give me what I want. Probably. Papa loves her. And she trusts that, right? Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does the Spirit give you confidence that you're His? It will. It will. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now this is why I brought you here. Look at verse 17 again. And if children, then heirs. Now that's a good part. Woohoo, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I will tell you this. This is the tough part of this message. The greater your faith, the more you'll suffer. The more you suffer, the more Christ is honored. He says that throughout the scriptures. He says that in 1 Peter. He said, what good is it if you suffer for what you deserve? But if you suffer for something that you haven't done and you handle it properly, God is glorified. Christ, the greatest moment of God's glory, I think I could prove it with the scriptures, is when Christ went to the cross. He said, you'll know that I love the Father when I am lifted up, when I go to the cross. Greatest moment of God's glory, greatest moment of God's power is when the resurrection. Greatest moment of history of man was when God arrived in flesh. Greatest moment of God's glory is when Jesus Christ was crucified and he obeyed the Father. And the greatest moment of God's glory was the greatest moment of suffering. So I want to tell you this. This is that tough part. If I asked before I started this message, how many of you want increased faith, you'd raise your hand. But if I asked the first question, I said, how many of you want to suffer more? It'd be a tough, I don't know how many hands would be raised. I honestly think you'd be stupid just to say, yes, I want to suffer more. But if you understand it, if increased faith equals more suffering, then I want less faith. That's kind of my perspective. But I want increased faith, right? But I'm telling you this, when you see this, when we walk in the Spirit, the devil will notice. You all know this. When you try to do what's right, you should expect problems. Now, God's in charge. I do love that, right? Nothing will happen to you unless it passes through God's hand. I mean this. I am invincible until God says no. Now, I've always said this. I talked to Ron about this and some other guys about this morning. How many of you have the alleyway planned? Do you ever think about that? Well, what happens if I'm by myself and I'm cornered in an alley? No, you've never thought of that? I thought about it multiple things. I thought, what if my family's with me? I say, here's Deb. No, I'm just. I say, what if my family's with me? Then I know this. Then I know. I've always practiced. I've known this. My job is to protect my family, whatever that takes. But I'm going to buy myself. I mean, particularly in the state that I'm in, it's my kids are raised, my life insurance hasn't expired, you know, all those things. It is, I'm ready to go. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I've imagined this on an airplane, right? On an airplane, what will I do? Will I stand up and I want to preach the gospel, right? Who will listen? I don't know. You know, but if I'm in the alley, I believe this. And so it may be God's will. If you're in an alley cornered by a bunch of bad guys, it's probably the end. You know, but I also know this. I know this. They can't touch me unless God says they can. And I'll tell you this. I want. And I'll probably run like a whatever. I'll run, probably. And it's okay to run if you can avoid it, but if you're cornered in an alleyway, there's probably no way to run. Plus, I can't run fast. But I want to honor Christ. If that's going to be my last moment, I want to honor Christ. And I want to tell you this. I believe if I suffer for Him and I honor Him and I stand up for Him, I believe I'll get in heaven and I'll find out He'll use it for His glory. You could think, oh, the guys in the alleyway, they'll mock me, and I'm just telling you, the crustiest exterior is usually the most tender heart. I've seen it. The people that get the most angry at you for the gospel are probably the most tender inside. They've built up this exterior. The thing that's toughest for me are the apathetic. I don't care, and you can't get me to care. I love the people that are fired up. They're fired up about something. They're mad at somebody, and they need to understand it's God. I want you to know this. Suffering is a result of faith. Faith sounds glorious moving a mountain. Faith sounds glorious healing. Faith sounds wonderful that says, and we're praying for your mother tomorrow for a great scan. And I want that so much for you. These are just agonizing moments, right? And it's just, you're going through it a third, fourth time, right? And I remember your prayers, right? It's like, why, God? Why again? I don't know. Trust in the Lord, right? These are the moments that faith in God. And I loved your prayer request just 1 week ago. And I know you're mentally trying to go through this because you're afraid you won't, probably. You said, and we will praise the Lord whether the report's good or bad. And I love that's where you're at here, but it's really, is that here, right? It is not faith to manipulate God, but it's faith to honor Him. Whatever it takes, faith to honor Him. I want you to look at this in verse 5. He says, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, this would be God or the Lord Jesus Christ, He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth He it by the works of faith or by the hearing of faith? It is this. It is, fourth thing I want you to see, the ministry of the Spirit is by faith. And I also want to show you this too. It's, you know, there's so much confusion today about we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is always in subjection to both the Father and the Son. And the Spirit always is highlighting the Son, and the Son's always highlighting the Father, and the Father's always glorifying the Son, and the Son's glorifying the Father. There's no glory going back to the Spirit, and the Spirit's okay with that. Can't find any verse that says that. But look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth He it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, this is good for me. I told you this, and so I'll repeat it tonight. I was just driving through Fairfield, and I'm always evaluating this ministry, and I'll tell you this: I love each one of you. I've never served with a greater group in my life, and I don't blow smoke. I don't blow smoke at people. I'm known to be blunt. So I'm just telling you that my personal ministry, right? So I don't need feedback. I don't need encouragement. I'm just realistic. I have failed as a pastor, and so my job is to reach this Jerusalem. This is where God planted us. I have no doubt this is where God wanted us to be. And so our God is the God of miracles, and it's by faith. But the Lord, he did something so wonderful to me the other day when I was begging him. You see, I have a goal that Fairfield will never be the same. And it can happen. Our God's that big. And I want to have the faith to believe that, but I'll tell you what the Lord did to me. He said, how about this, big shot? He probably didn't say it that way, but that's the way I felt, you know, because I need to humble myself. He said, why don't you just have simple faith that has greater victory in your life, to be nicer to your wife, to be more loving to people, and to where everything about you is about me. How about you get that down, and I'll take care of Fairfield. And then this is how messed up I am. Is that what I got to do? I'm so messed up. And so what I want to do is I want to get that one thing down that says, you are worthy. I can have victory over the things I've never had victory over, or sparse victory. Randall, if by faith I believe him and I love him, and it needs to be him in his glory, and you know this, I believe he'll manifest some amazing things. I can't wait till you read that letter from Andrew Tooney. I want you guys to read that. It'll be the most read Monday missions ever in the history of Hope Baptist Church. 4 people will read it. And I hope you're reading those. So you'll read Andrew Tooney's tomorrow. You see, we serve a big God. You want miracles in your life? And why don't you let him just manifest a miracle in your life? For you will live for him in a way that you've never lived for him. Final thing I want you to show you this. Abraham was saved by faith in the gospel. You love this? It says this. I'll take you. I don't think I'll have to. Maybe I'll. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God. He's just letting these folks know. This is the same. Even as Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Turn back to Genesis 12. I'll show you that passage just real quick. We could turn to Genesis 15, but for sake of time, I'll cover Genesis 15. We've got a lot of Abraham that's going to be happening in the weeks to come. And I want you to see this. I think most of you know, the Bible is crystal clear. How was Adam saved? The same way, by faith in the Messiah. By faith in the Messiah to come. The gospel was the identical gospel that is preached today. There was no difference. There is more clarity with the gospel we preach that it was the crucified Messiah. But they didn't have to know that he was crucified, and they didn't have to know he'd rise from the dead in 3 days. Here's what they did know, that God would become man, Emmanuel. They knew that name. That God would come, he would become a man, and he would suffer vicariously in their place, and he would die when he took upon their sins, and he would be born of a virgin. They knew that. They knew why he had to be born of a virgin, because he had to be sinless. He would die, be buried, and rise again. That's the gospel. God came to this earth, became a man, took our place, took upon him our sin, was punished, was died because he took upon himself sin, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. That's the same gospel that saved Abraham. That's what it says in Galatians. I'll show you one other passage. Look at Genesis chapter 12. If you ask me, I don't know. I think he was probably saved in, maybe he was saved in Genesis 12. It seems pretty clear that he was probably saved in Genesis 15. 15. We're definitely saved in Genesis 15. Maybe you don't like that. I don't know. Maybe he was saved here too. I think the faith that was counted for him as righteousness is mentioned in Genesis 15. That's what leads me to believe that. I'm not trying to be controversial. Anyway, I shouldn't have even said that. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed through Christ. That's what it's talking about. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. In fact, I'll take it over to Genesis 15 since you're so curious. I'll just show you where this verse is quoted, that it was counted unto him for righteousness, and that's why I believe this is where he was saved. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall be thy seed. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. What's interesting, Abraham was doing some things that looked godly before this. This is when I think he was saved. This is when it was counted. He believed in the Lord. And don't you love Galatians? Turn back to Galatians. He believed in the Lord, in the gospel, in the promised one, in the prophet that was to come, in the one that was to come. He believed in him. If you're doubtful, let's turn to one more passage, Acts chapter 26. See, this is critical. I want you to understand this. It's the same faith that Abraham had. It's the same faith that Adam had. It's the same gospel that Adam had. It's the same gospel that Abraham had. It's the same gospel that Moses had. It's the same gospel that the prophets had. Acts chapter 26, Paul speaking to King Agrippa. And Paul used his testimony all the time with his conversion on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not obedient unto the heavenly vision. Talking about that light on the road to Damascus. Verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, this is why they're putting me in jail. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What was he saying? That Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, that's the Greek word for Messiah, Christ, Christos, Messiah, Hebrew, Greek, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He's preaching the same thing Moses did. He's preaching the same thing the prophets did. And he's saying, that's exactly how Abraham was saved. Abraham was saved by the gospel. Abraham was saved by faith in the Messiah to come. Again, I love challenges, because when we get finished with Galatians, you'll see my position clearly, not trying to be controversial. I welcome you. See, when we are grafted into the Abrahamic covenant. Not the new covenant. I think that's specifically for the Jews. It's only possible by faith in Jesus Christ. Understand that. There is no salvation outside of Christ. The new covenant's a promise to the Jews. The old covenant is to the Jews. The new covenant's to the same people. But guess what? We are grafted in to the Abrahamic covenant, to that promise that all nations of the earth will be blessed through Christ. And so, this will be my one little challenge for you, because I have discussions with multiple people, so I'm not just talking to one. If you, the most recent person I've talked to might think I am. I'm not. It's this. If the new covenant's the gospel, the new covenant hadn't been given yet. Look at Jeremiah 31. New covenant can't be the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It'll also help you understand, I know there's three times it mentions it in the New Testament. Why don't I talk about new covenant, new covenant, new covenant, new covenant, new covenant, new covenant, new covenant? I don't. I talk gospel, 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 gospel. And so that's not a big source of contention. I'm just telling you this. What I love is because we are all a little bit confused about that. Okay, I don't have it all. I don't think we're confused about the gospel, right? It's the work of Christ, God Himself, that took upon Himself my sin by faith. That's what saves me. I'm telling you this. Where are you struggling in life? Where are you struggling just trusting God? That's what the victory is. Just trust in God. Have faith. Clay, I know those areas in my life, and you know the areas of your life, and I don't need to know those. I will tell you this. Will you trust God enough to give you the victory for His honor and His glory? You see, I'm so selfish. It's all about me. I have to let go of me, and I have to finally say, if what you want from me is suffering, increase my faith. I want to trust in God, no matter what He has. I'm telling you, so if you allow, I still am learning the Bible. I know. I'm supposed to know it all before I'm a pastor. It is. We need to submit every day, every hour to God. It's the key. Submit in faith for His honor, for His glory. Submit by faith. Trusting Him, He knows best. And I will tell you, our lives will be different. There's one other thing, and I'll just give Nassim credit. I'm going to go public. I'm going to start doing this, right? I love that I don't have an early morning except on Tuesdays, and that's usually when I'm the most grouchy. And I'm always glad once I come Tuesdays. Randall's testimony is the same for me. I'm always glad when I get here. But 2 weeks ago, you know, if I wasn't the pastor, I wouldn't have been here. I literally turned my alarm off, and I said, I'm going back to bed. And I couldn't. I was a pleaser of men that morning. But I came. Nassim will tell you that one of the life-changing things in his life is that he made Christ first in the morning. I'm going to begin to rise earlier than I normally would. And I know this. The Bible's overwhelmingly clear about that. And Nassim, here's what I've got to try to do. If you learn anything from tonight, how should I rise in the morning? By faith. It seems to be a little less in the morning. I'm not a morning person. But I want to do this. If my objective is to honor God, that my path will be set straight, my mind will be set straight, my course will be set straight by faith in the Lord, then that's what I'm going to do. And I know this. What the devil wants is he wants my first day to be terrible, my second day to be terrible, my third day to be terrible, my fourth day to be terrible. But if by faith I continue, I know this, the Bible would teach that we should seek Him. I want to be different, not for your sake. I do want us to impact Fairfield. But God told me, I'm convinced, and I think He says it in His Word, I need to take care of Steve. He'll take care of Fairfield. Now we need to get with it. We need to be about the Father's business. What are you struggling with by faith? See, I mean, I'm going public. You should see just a grand man here. He's coming to a house near you. You won't recognize him by faith. You see, because if it honors Christ, it's worth it all. By faith. By faith. He saved me by faith. I'm counting on my entire eternity by faith. But I can't live daily with that same faith. Oh, I can. By faith. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us, that we would not have these